What is going on, everybody? My name is Conor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Weird News Wednesdays. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast, and we are back again talking all the strangest news stories from around the world. We talk about the news that the real news is too afraid to talk about. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
Good, Conor. Full of energy today, actually.
It's a sunny day.
Yeah, first day of spring, apparently. I learned that today.
Is it?
See, Ireland, we do it like 6 weeks before the rest of the world is the first day of spring.
But I think in Ireland, we're also slightly different in that we don't really get sun. So if there's any sun, we're like, the first day of spring. Perfect. It could be the fucking July. We'd be like, first day of spring.
Because I don't believe, like, every winter, I'm like, I don't just get sad when it's dark in the day.
And then I hit a sunbeam. I don't believe in nature.
I don't have faith in it, first of all. But then I hit a sunbeam and I'm like, okay, no, this works. Cool.
You photosynthesis is real big for you.
Yeah. Yeah, if I could photosynthesize, that would solve... Actually, no, that would cause more problems because it's dark all the time here.
It's always raining. So, Sean, this is weird news. What do we do here?
You spent the week gathering all of the weirdest news stories from around the world, and you're about to read them all out to me, a man who has been too busy eating vitamin D tablets to look at any weird news. Sorry, my brain reset midway through that.
Because the sun hit you, and you were like, fuck, happiness.
I'm a different man now.
I've so much left to achieve.
I just... It's a weird news where I don't get angry, I don't get upset about anything. It's going to be
great. Just like chill. I give you something crazy. You're like,
that's mad, isn't it?
I'll tell you something. Let them be who they want to be. Yeah. That's what I would always say.
Takes all sorts, doesn't it, Conor?
Takes all sorts. Sean, if this is people's first episode, they don't have to do anything. Don't worry about it, right? But if it's your second and above, we would really appreciate a 5 stars on Spotify or on iTunes, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. If it's any of the other ones, a review is always lovely. A comment, that's always amazing.
A follow is always encouraged.
But yeah, just any sort of review or rating would be absolutely amazing.
A brick hurled through a window.
Just put a little note in a bottle, put it in the ocean, says Heroes for Hire, average. Put that in the ocean, just let it float away. It'll get to us. I promise it'll get to us.
We'll feel it, don't you worry.
I always feel it. We are not getting good reviews.
It's terrible, folks.
You can also just tell one human being that we exist. That would really help us out. But also, if people missed it, we did a review of Dune on Monday. If you want to go back and listen to that, we did a full review of the movie Dune Part 2. And
Bumper
in which,
episode.
Sean, you said it was the worst movie you've ever seen.
Look, I don't want to give the review away, Conor, but let's just say we had two drastically different opinions about one of the most highly rated movies ever.
I was like, I think it's okay. You were like, it's fucking shit.
It's dog shit. No, we came to blows during it. He drove to my house, kicked the shit out of me. Went back, microphone was still recording, continued the review.
And somehow you still won the argument.
I did, because I'm the better arguer of the two.
He made too many good points about Madame Web, I couldn't back him up.
Best movie ever, Madame Web.
Obviously. But yeah, if you want to support the show, we have a Patreon as well. But Sean, it's no more time for yibber yabbered, right? Because we've got some big news. I'm bringing it in. I don't know what it is, but I'm bringing it back.
No one's ever used it before.
Was it ever in? I'm bringing it forward
from the future.
Plans to construct Titanic 2 revived with maiden voyage schedule for 2027.
Why would you call it Titanic 2?
Seems like a poor orbit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's poor connotations is what it'll what it'll give you. Why not call it like Titanic's Revenge or something like that? Or the Iceberg Killer.
Titanic Strikes Back. Australian mining tycoon Clive Palmer had revived plans to build a replica of the Titanic a decade after first floating the idea of constructing a copy of the Belfast built ship. So trying to copy us as usual. We're not going to get into that.
Australians always copying the Irish.
I'm shaking my fists to clouds. The billionaire held a press conference at the Sydney Opera House on Wednesday, where he unveiled the current designs for the vessel, which he said could be far, far superior than the original. And I'll be honest with you, Clive, it was over 100 years ago. I fucking hope it is.
I'll be honest as well, it's a low bar to be a better ship than the Titanic.
I want to be better than the most famous sinking ship ever.
Like that would be like, I want to make a better space shuttle than the Challenger. Like,
yeah. Like, I don't get the concept of wanting to do Titanic 2.
No. I don't get luxury cruises in general. Like, I think it's a weird dynamic. Have you heard of the 9-month cruise?
I don't know what you're talking about, please.
There's a cruise, I saw it on TikTok, there's a cruise that people are getting on and they're just going to be at sea for 9 months, all together, locked on a ship.
Okay.
And I need that to be studied.
But the ship, well, I suppose you could get a serious sitcom drama out of that, because imagine the love triangles, imagine the breakups, the drama between friendship groups.
A baby is being born on that cruise. 100%.
Last day. That's how you end the first season.
Yeah.
First season they meet, one night stand, very first episode, last episode, baby's born, you're done.
Yeah, and then they elect to raise the baby on the ship. Like, it just, the baby never steps on land.
They call the baby Aquaman.
They give him a little trident, it's great, it's cute.
I think something like that would lead to, like, a psychotic behaviour, I think. After 2 months, I think everyone's losing their minds.
Yeah, I think it sounds great in theory. Oh, let's just take a year off and travel. But being locked in close proximity with, 500 people? How many people can go on a cruise?
Yeah. Something like that, I think.
Imagine just never leaving, like, your immediate 1 kilometer radius around you for 9 months.
Yeah, but in that kilometre, all the houses in the kilometre radius, they're the only people that you see.
That you'll ever see for that entire time. You'll
eat
the same
food.
Which
people did many years ago, before transport, but
that
they were all
true.
Crazy.
Yeah, and also, it was a simpler time, and people had the fear of God in them at that point.
2001, it was a dangerous, 2002, 3, 4, just the early noughties, really.
To be fair, we all went a bit mad in 2020, didn't we?
That's true. The main question here is, would you buy a ticket for the Titanic 2?
No, I don't think, I think it's too close, like, it raises too many connotations of that big ship that sank that one time for me to be comfortable with it. I also, look, I'm not a superstitious man. But I feel you're really tempting the ocean by calling it the Titanic 2.
Yeah. I mean, the only way you make it worse is the Titanic 2. This one's definitely not going to sink.
Yeah. Titanic 2, colon, really unsinkable, we promise.
Colon, fuck you, ocean.
Like, the Titanic has, since it sank, only last year, claimed more lives.
It's poor, boys. It's not good. There's so much pressure on being the captain of this boat that I think you'd go mad. It would be like a Shining situation. The pressure on you of, like, I can't fuck up would lead you to fuck up.
Yeah, imagine being hired as the captain of the Titanic 2. Because and like on the interview, they're like, look, either way, you'll go down in history, you know?
He also claimed in the press conference, by the way, that a couple of million people had already registered interest in the 2,500-person vessel.
2,500 people. 2,500 souls on board.
On board, yeah.
But but people have applied to go to Mars and shit like that. Like, people are idiots.
People applied to do lots of stuff. People applied to go down and underwater in that fucking tin can last year.
Yeah. Like, people being interested in something does not mean that it's safe or good.
People are dumb.
Yeah. If you can guarantee, most people that you meet in your life are idiots.
Us, especially. Oh. We, as idiots, recognise game recognises game.
That's the thing. That's how I know I'm correct. Is because I have no business doing the things that I do.
I've no business underwater. I'm definitely gonna die. I think we're of that mindset of, like, well, if I get on the boat, everyone's gonna die. I have that look about me.
Yeah, and it's not even that I have main character energy. It said, I have bad luck that will ruin everyone else's time.
I'm the character in the volcano movie that the volcano gets, like, at the very first scene, who discovers it. And was like, oh, fuck. Not the main character. I'm not the guy who solves it. I'm the guy who gets burned, I would say, maybe fourth or fifth.
Yeah. You're not the hero in the zombie apocalypse. You're the guy who gets bit, goes home, thinks everything is fine, and then changes.
It's probably grand. I'll walk it off.
I won't worry about it. It's okay.
It's fine. Then in his report he said, so if I could do the Titanic, I'm going to do it. It's a lot more fun to do the Titanic than it is to sit at home and count my money.
Weird flex, but why not?
I'll be honest with you, this minor billionaire, this mining tycoon billionaire is giving me bad vibes.
Look, if there's any man who would have funded the original Titanic, it's a mining tycoon billionaire.
And he would have said yee-haw as he did it, obviously.
Oh, I'm imagining he's got like the spurs and shit on just walking around.
All you need to be happy, I found in life, is to have someone that loves you, somewhere to sleep at night, and enough for a good meal. Beyond that, the rest is an illusion. It's like playing golf. What the fuck does that have to do with the Titanic?
Golf. The idea with golf, I suppose, is that the less you have, the better it is. Which is not how I would sell a ship. I'd want that to be fairly well equipped.
We've only got like two planks of wood. It's fine.
Because the funny thing is that because the Titanic was such a famous shipwreck, and so many things conspired to go wrong one after another, it's one of the greatest learning experiences of any shipwreck that's ever been had. So if this Titanic 2 sinks, it's absolutely worse than the original Titanic, because they should have known better.
But also great commitment to the bit as well. You gotta respect the commitment, even though obviously all those people are gonna die, but they really are doing it, as they said in the past, for the vine.
But what do you think what's the tone on that ship? Is it respectful? Because it's like, hey, these people died on a ship with the same
name. I'm getting the impression it's a ghost ship. I'm getting people go on, and then the ghosts of the past people. There's definitely someone that's like, I can sense their presence, and that's going to freak out everybody else to the point where like mass hysteria kicks in very early on. That they're like, we are just the ghosts of the lost souls already.
And I don't think you could separate that from your ability to enjoy shuffleboard or whatever's going on. I don't think you're relaxing on the Titanic 2. It's always in the back of your mind. Oh, but the last
every
one.
Every single person is looking for Bergs.
Yeah.
All day.
Oh, the Berg watch is going to be insane. Which is also another question. For the sake of, like, is this a history thing? Do you do the same route that the Titanic did?
Well, if he's in Australia, is he going to bring it to Belfast and then do that trip? Or are you going from Australia?
I don't know, because that's the thing. And it was fine when it left Belfast. Let's just say that right away.
That's like a classic Irish thing. But yeah. It was fine the last time we seen it.
Fucking went to Liverpool and then I don't know what went on.
I'll tell you something. When it left these shores, fucking ace. Perfect, lad. Not a scratch on the oak.
You can eat your dinner off that ship.
Went over to the fucking Brits. And that's what went wrong.
Started messing around with it.
We're just like passing the book. I don't think it's probably our fault or their fault. It's probably the big iceberg's fault, regardless.
Big iceberg would have done a lot of it, yeah. But also, there wasn't enough lifeboats or life jackets on board. That was another big cost saving thing that they did.
I mean, is he gonna build an exact replica of it, or is he building a newer version of it?
Yeah, is it just like a new modern ship just called the Titanic 2? Because that's just buying a ship, is what that is.
That's a bit different. He's also said he's gonna build it, and it's gonna weigh 56,000 tons and cost up to £1 billion.
That's what. What if? Before we make the Titanic 2, we help some people who need food.
What if instead of building this ginormous boat for no reason, what if instead you gave that money to someone, oh, I don't know, who doesn't own any boats?
Yes. Yeah. What if you were to, I don't know, teach someone to fish with that money?
Teach someone to boat.
teach someone to vote. Like, what? Just, I think there's better ways to spend £1 billion than building a ship that is, let's be honest, destined to sink.
Destined to either sink or, I mean, could become an amazing tourist attraction, Sean. That's the real dream, isn't it?
He wants it properly good. He wants his own fucking Titanic experience, is what he wants.
That's actually true. He's trying to steal the Titanic experience. Yeah. He was.
One of Belfast's biggest tourism industries is the Titanic experience and the Game of Thrones thing, but whatever.
That's on this island, lad. You're not taking that. Nah, I know Australians and Irish people are very similar, right? But you can't come along and start taking all of you've got the sun, you've got good weather, you've got nice views.
There's don't a reason all of us are moving there.
You've got good jobs, right? But don't take our fucking Titanic experience.
The only thing we have is tourism. All right,
because people get lied to and think it's class here. Yeah. It's not.
Right. People think they're from here even when they're not. It's wild.
It was Paddy's weekend this weekend, and I'll tell you something. I heard so many people who weren't from here try to do our accent, and I'll tell you something. Offensive.
Now look, we'll laugh it off because we're too polite, but it's offensive every time.
Yeah. But you know what? I never hear an Australian trying to do an Irish accent.
No.
Because they're too busy stealing tourist attractions. They're not worried about accents. Because
they're sneaky.
They're playing the long game. I think it only works because I think like New Zealand, Australia, Ireland, and I would say like Liverpool in the UK have very similar senses of humour, only because I think Irish people just went everywhere.
100%. I throw Scotland and Wales in there as well.
Oh, like, Scotland and Wales as well, yeah. Scottish people don't give a fuck either.
Yeah, so I think there's a shared level of taking the piss that we can all allow. But I draw the line at the Titanic experience.
If they pull a Titanic experience anywhere else, I think we'd be even more furious. Australians are the only ones who would be like, actually, we probably fucking set it up over there.
Do you know what?
There's enough of us over there that we probably set it up.
Yeah, because it'll just copy all the same information. It'll be great.
Somebody's like, I can't get home for Christmas. I'll just build my own Belfast experience here.
New Belfast, we'll call it. Sorry, this is just a by-the-by that I remembered in school. Because we went to like a Catholic school. I remember learning about the Titanic. And one of my teachers was like, and someone who was present when it was unveiled said, not even God himself could sink it. And that's why it sank. That was the information I was given as a child.
So, I suppose, are we to take from that that God is so spiteful that he was like, how dare you claim I can't sink that fucking boat? All those motherfuckers are going to die.
So I just look, everyone be careful what you say with the Titanic too.
Be
is all
fucking
I'm
worried, right? Say specifically, wow, I fucking bet God could definitely sink that ship.
Oh, that God would have that gone in a heartbeat.
Heartbeat. Now to get on the boat. That's such a Catholic thing. Was it a nun? I assume it was a nun.
I think she was. Yeah, I think she was a nun. To be fair.
Of course. Because it's about striking the fear. You were probably about 7.
Yeah.
Don't fucking say God's a prick because he will kill you. That is the rules.
We used to have a colouring book that was all like saints and shit. Like, it was weird, man. Very strange.
We're going to have to move on from the Titanic 2 because Sean...
I'll never move on from the Titanic 2, Connor.
I'm getting a tattoo right now. But Sean, we have our very famous segment, Play the Jingle Please. The jingle has been put in. Sean solves. Once again, he would not embarrass me. He would not make me do a jingle introduction and not play it.
No.
But this is the segment of the show, otherwise known as Sean Solves Every Weird News normally now, where Sean is given an agony ad situation, a problem that somebody has had in the world that I have gone out to find.
And other like experts have offered help. They're useless as far as I'm concerned. I have 100%
to be honest,
success rate.
Any person with a degree in some sort of psychological... useless to these
they're
people.
A crook, is what I'd like to say. A quack.
Quack. So Sean is the person we turn to really get an idea of what to do. We've covered the mass gambit here on Sean Solves over the last year. You've covered love, friendship, money problems. We've covered like job
problems.
And
that's just what we talk about before we start recording.
That's not true. Well, as if we'd talk when this is recording.
Yeah, that's true.
I like the idea we hate each other.
But we just turn it off.
I just like, right, I'll fucking talk to you after. Yeah. Fuck you.
We're like anyway. The two lads from Mythbusters.
Fuck him. But Sean, I have a problem at a wedding.
Bad place to have a problem.
Because this is a groomsman problem.
Okay, relevant.
Relevant, because I have bride's prank plan during wedding ceremony is so crazy that the groomsman doesn't know what to do.
A prank at a wedding is a tough sell.
Tough sell. Yeah. Now look, the groomsman is being asked. The bride-to-be is marrying his best friend, right?
Okay.
And he said that she is a known jokester with a reputation for pulling off practical jokes that don't cause any harm to anyone with the aim of making people laugh. And, I mean, for example, she once accidentally destroyed the groom's laptop and surprised him with a brand new laptop that he'd been looking for. So, like, one of those.
I don't like that, because you've already made that person go through the mental anguish of having their thing destroyed.
Unless you have the laptop straight there, they're like right behind
even
your
back. Even then, I'm not cool with it, I'll be honest.
You still have that 1 second of, oh my God, my life is over.
Yeah, I was just oh fuck, this is horrible. Like,
but they say that the husband, he's a bit more logical, so she balances him out because she's a bit of a laugh. But the groomsman said the couple aren't that bothered about the ceremony aspect of the big day, so they're getting hitched at the courthouse and instead using their money for a nice reception with their close family and friends. Makes sense. It's a lovely idea.
It's the only way to do it.
Their I do's are going to be intimate. So, to be so intimate that only the groomsman, the best man, the maid of honour, and a handful of friends will be there to witness the moment. So, only people very, very close will be there in the courtroom.
Not doing it in front of everyone, having it be a special moment for them. Nothing wrong with that.
This is where the problem starts, Sean, because the bride wants to do a pretty notable prank. Because what she wants is that she wants to have a very dramatic objection or something during the wedding.
Oh, fuck.
Right. And since the groomsman will be the only single person left in the room, the bride reckons he is the perfect candidate to halt the nuptials and pretend he is declaring his love for her in the middle of the ceremony, only to vie for the groom at the last minute instead. And then he says, this is where I thought you'd like it, then she wants us to do a sword fight for his hand.
That's all too elaborate. There's too many moving parts there for it to be funny.
He says, I wish she was joking, but she and the groom actually have a sizable sword collection, and she said she'd get her maid of honour to sneak two of the smaller ones into the courtroom.
Further questions on that. Who the fuck has a sizable sword collection?
I think anyone with more than one sword is like, hang on, what's going on?
Flight risk, like.
So look, Sean, what do we do in this situation? Because the groomsman is being put in a very difficult position.
That's the thing, and it is the bride's day.
It's the bride, like, and that's what she wants. She thinks it'd be funny.
Got to facilitate all requests, I suppose.
Yeah.
Can you workshop the bit a little bit? So, like, I'll be honest, the sword fight thing, that's a lot.
Mm.
I think you turn it back on her, actually. I think you let the groom know what's going on.
Oh.
And then the groom starts playing along. So the
I think the greatest prank would be to turn the logical one into the one playing the prank.
What a gift for someone that loves pranks is get their normally straight down the line partner to do a little prank.
Oh, so you're saying maybe you one up it.
Yeah.
You get him to attach a fake arm in the middle of the ceremony. The sword fight goes wrong! ! Capital letters.
Comes out, ruins the dress.
red arrows everywhere on the screen title. It goes wrong. Prank gone wrong. And so he loses an arm. Yeah, you got fake blood popping out. You need him to commit to the bit. allow her to be like, this has gone way too far.
Yeah. And then, ha ha, look at you, you big dickhead. Fuck you.
I don't think you understand how pranks work.
I don't like pranks. I'm not a fan of them.
I love the point on, ha ha, you big dickhead.
What, see, the other option is, because what she wants the groomsman to do is to object to the wedding and confess his love for the groom. Is that what I took from that?
So, yeah, so he...
The joke is that the groom is going to think he's confessing his love for the bride. He's actually confessing his love for the groom.
Yeah.
I think as the groom, you play along and say, I didn't know you felt the same way. And now she's like, this has ruined the wedding now, and it's all my fault.
Here's the thing, right? He then says he's been added into a WhatsApp group in which the bride and the maid of honour are basically pressuring him over and over again, and he's reiterating, I don't feel comfortable with the prank. And they're reassuring me, trying to get me to reconsider, he says. So he's under massive pressure here.
But it's really tough. This might be the toughest Sean solves yet.
This is the thing, because you're getting pressure from all sides, and the only person who doesn't know is the one that could back you up, but he's not meant to know because it's a prank.
Okay, so you can't tell the groom. We can't tell the groom, but you don't want to do it. There's very few other people in the room that this would apply to.
Fake your own debt.
I think you might have to fake your own debt.
Move to Mexico.
Could you object? If you want to do the objection joke, when the priest or whoever the fuck it is says, does anyone object to this union? The funny bit is to just do a little cough and have everyone look at you. And then just go, sorry, something in my throat. That's a little joke that doesn't harm anyone. You're not drawing a weapon.
Also, I don't think they're going to... surely they're not allowed to bring real weapons into the courthouse. They'd have to bring fake swords, even though they have, in their own words, a pretty sizable sword collection, which I think, dodgy as it is. But a fake sword could work if you wanted to bring two fake ones, maybe a dagger, have a Dune Part 2 fight. But even then, I don't think it's great. I think... only option is go back to step one, is you got to tell the groom and really turn it.
I think that's, yeah. Or you turn it into a nice surprise.
Oh.
So.
I'm having your baby.
Well, I said a nice surprise, Connor.
Okay, good.
You need to find someone that this groom loves but isn't at the wedding. Okay? So an old friend... a long lost family member, his brother that you've kidnapped and hasn't been seen for 3 months, and then when the priest says, "Does anyone object?" that person kicks in the door,
needs to come in. Yeah,
I object. You can't get married if I'm not here. And then it's a nice surprise. Their favorite celebrity, perhaps. Like, so bring them in.
You need to get a cameo from their favorite celebrity,
but in person, in a full like they need to rock up.
Yeah.
And be ready to go.
Right, okay. What's the groomsman doing?
The groomsman is arranging all of this.
I feel like it might be expensive.
They're saving all the money by getting married at the courthouse. They said that in the description.
They have no more money for the party. But wow, Danny Trejo's here.
If you have to have anyone kick a door in.
I would bring in Danny with the swords if you're going to do it.
Well, the machete is, surely.
Sorry, the machete, sorry. Bring in two, and he's fighting for her love.
What, like, how much... the sword thing... the sword thing is weird, right? Like, that's too specific of a bit.
Also, you're going to be married forever, so, I mean, there's probably going to be more pranks. Maybe have one day with no pranks, or is this the ultimate prank to do it on this day?
I don't like pranks. That's been well established. But I also think, and I'm just insane enough to think that, this isn't a prank on the groom. This is a prank on the groomsman.
Oh.
That he's going to do this. And then there's going to be no follow-up. He's just going to object. And then, like, there's going to be no swords, there's going to be no laugh. He's just going to have to live in that moment for a second.
So she's double bluffing. She's double bluffing the prank.
And I think the groom is in on it.
Oh, okay. I think number one, you need to tell the groom, right, that this is happening.
If it was you, I would tell you, because I know you wouldn't want that.
Well, I wouldn't want it, first of all, but then secondly, we can use that information to our advantage.
Now they don't know that we know.
Now they don't know that we know that they know that we know that they don't know.
Yeah, you've gone too far, you've lost me again.
You know I love saying they don't know that we know that they know that we know, right? Yeah,
I know that about you.
Now, it's weird that you do, but now that we know and they don't know.
We're in control of this prank now.
We can start pranking the pranksters.
Yeah, so do the objection. Yeah, I think you're right with fake arm, big sword fight, it goes wrong.
Yeah.
And then, what else can we do here?
I mean, fake a death if you want. You can fake a full fight. You'll have to go all out.
Police break in. Start shooting.
What you do is you get onto whoever's in the courthouse that day, and they have to be in on it as well. Mm. You need to get one of them to also pretend to be slain in the fight.
Oh. And hang on.
And then even the family, you need to get the parents, if you have, or close people, need to start dying, fake dying, obviously, but everyone in the room needs to know about it other than the bride.
Yes. Yeah. What you need to do is you need to turn this courthouse into a Die Hard kind of scenario. Where, there's criminals in a courthouse. So one of those escapes. Holds people hostage.
You hire a fake criminal to run in and start I'm taking all of you as a hostage. The police are out and go all out.
So you do the thing. The groomsman objects. Husband is what the fuck? Storms out.
Yeah.
A criminal runs in, holds everyone hostage. Now the groom has to rescue everyone and be the hero. But the bride doesn't know this. The bride is this is all really happening and this is terrifying.
And you need to commit to it because the criminal is going to come in. She's going to be this is weird. Yeah. Someone needs to fake die.
I'm
talking fake knife in and then blood packs out.
Yeah.
They go down. And
say your last
goodbye,
all of that kind of thing. And then after a series of, I want to say, 3 to 5 trials and tribulations where they're in communication and stuff, the husband gets in the roof, back into the ceremony room, kicks the criminal down. And the criminal's you really think you can stop me? And then the husband looks at the bride and says, I do. Cut to credits.
And then the criminal gets up and just starts clapping.
He takes off his mask and he has a priest collar underneath.
And just bows and just starts clapping. Just thank you all so much for coming to this production. I think if she likes pranks, man, she'll like that, right? Yeah.
You got pranked, bro. You dickhead.
Fuck you, you dickhead. You got pranked. I think if we had a prank show, but every time, it's Impractical Jokers, but we're just really vicious with the,
we're really
you just got pranked, you fucking dickhead.
You're an idiot.
This is clearly for a show. So another Sean Solves successfully solved is what we're saying.
Another Sean Solved and a marriage saved.
I think a marriage possibly is now not only not on the rocks, I think it's the opposite of on the rocks.
I think she's already pregnant.
Nowhere near the rocks. You're fucking flying.
But what's that? What's that ahead? It's an iceberg.
Quick, onto the boat. God wouldn't do that to us.
Sean,
we're moving on because I have the perfect job for you.
Oh, is it podcast co-host who does very little work?
It's clearly fucking not. But no, I have a different one that you might be more suited to because I have you. You could run a penguin post office in Antarctica.
you have my intention.
Mm-hmm. So, help wanted. Charity seeks hardworking, self-motivated individuals for temporary positions. Must be willing to relocate and stomach the smell of penguin poop. That is the idea of the latest job descriptions posted by the UK Antarctic Heritage Trust. That organisation that runs a famed penguin post office in Antarctica. The group is hiring 3 positions for the upcoming Antarctic season, which runs from November 2024 to March 2025. Okay. So the post office is part of Port Lochroy, a historic British base on Goodyear Island near the Antarctic Peninsula. It's the southernmost post office in the world. But despite its remote location, it processes up to 80,000 letters and postcards each season.
Why? Where? To what? To whom?
Unless it's like a middle ground that you send them there before they go somewhere else.
Maybe, yeah. Like it has. Yeah, that it's just the most convenient. Like if you're drawing straight lines to places. It's the fastest one to get to.
These missiles, in turn, are sent by the roughly 18,000 cruise ship passengers who stop by during the summer in the southern hemisphere. The trust oversees the site, and basically, the organisation needs on-the-ground employees to sort mail, sell postage stamps, care for the ageing buildings, and run the small on-site gift shop.
I actually think I'd have great crack doing this.
These staffers also have another important duty, counting the roughly 1,500 penguins that live in a colony at Port Lochroy.
There's about 1,500 of them.
I'd say roughly, if I had to put a number on it.
Yeah, it's tough, because they all look quite similar, but...
Oh, probably a few less than 1,600 anyway, a few more than 1,400 is what I've had to put a number on it.
Just like, just every day, it's like one less than the day before. It's like, 1486.
How are you going to count all 1,500? So, 100%, you just look out your window, you're like, still a fucking shit ton of penguins out there, I suppose. That's about 1,500.
There's enough penguins out there.
Yeah. So, the organization is looking for a base leader, a general assistant, and a shop manager, Sean. So, yes. 3 positions there.
Look, you got all 3 in one right here. I have this thing. Leave me and the penguins together for 4 months.
You have big general assistant energy.
What the fuck? I'm a base leader. I'm a base leader myself.
You are a base leader. If anything happens, I can see you turn into the penguins. Like, guys, what do we do?
I tried that already.
I'm only a general assistant, guys.
You fucking dudes.
Just like, look at all 1,500. There's 1,500 of you. None of me has a good idea between you, you fucking pricks.
Just an emperor penguin, like, standing over me, checking his watch.
I only took an hour lunch, I swear. Fuck's sake.
How are you monitored? How's your progress tracked?
Well, I suppose they monitor how many postage stamps and stuff you go through every fucking season or whatever.
Wi-Fi situation like out there?
I assume it's probably not great.
Right, what's the freezing to death situation out there?
That would be quite grave as well, yeah. After undergoing extensive training in the UK in August and September, that's the I was okay with going to the Antarctic, but I will not go to Birmingham. I swear.
If the training was in Cork, like, fine.
They'll deploy to Port Lochroy in late October or early November. So a lovely cold month to kind of show up in the Antarctic.
Southern hemisphere, though, so does that mean it's warmer?
Oh, fucking roasting down there. Yeah, once they arrive... They'll be mostly cut off from the outside world, as there's very little phone and internet access on the island. They'll also be sharing a bunk room with up to 5 other people throughout the season.
Can I pick the other people?
Who'd you pick?
You.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would. We'd have great fun. We do the podcast. We'd record them and we'd release them.
100% the other 4 would kill themselves. Whoever it was, and after like day 3 of us going just doing a bit, and they'd be like, okay, no, I swear, I hope the penguins kill me. I'm going up there.
I have grave news for your stag too, let me tell you.
I'll be honest with you, lads, I'm going to get the penguins to eat me alive. I cannot handle this.
I'm going to take my chances with the birds. Thank you.
Port Lochroy also has no running water, so staffers will have to be comfortable using a bucket instead of a toilet. They won't be able to take baths or showers, except when passing cruise ships invite them on board.
What, you have to fucking parlay with the captain, do you?
You have to make a parlay with the captain and then go on, take a shit and then come back out.
Jesus, how often do those cruise ships come by?
I assume probably not that often.
Would you be stinking that much if it's that cold, though? Like, surely not a lot of bacteria would be living in your clothes and stuff.
Hmm. But I suppose, yeah, but the idea would be maybe you wear so many clothes that you'd probably sweat.
That's true. The insulation keeps all your heat
in. You'd be cold, but you'd still be sweating because you've just so many layers on.
That's terrible. That's not. And then six of you all cramming into a tiny little bunk at the end.
Due to the terrain, it's not possible to go for a run or take a long walk if you need time on your own. Could you cope with being confined to a small island with four teammates for 5 months?
Can I bring cans?
There's no way. You'd kill each other. There's nobody on the planet that could go do that.
We were talking
about the cruise, right?
Yeah.
You were like, oh, that'd be crazy for 9 months.
True, yeah,
5 months with five people in a one room.
Just night one, we start watching The Thing.
And night two, you're just like, anyone up for The Thing again?
Just lads, I brought two DVDs. I brought The Thing and, oh heavens, I've brought two copies of The Thing.
Extended edition. Yeah. The Thing. I think,
the
guys,
remake.
We can. I mean, this one's a real good one. You get to see them butchered in even more HD. So, anyone for The Thing again?
This one's about a rugby team that had a plane crash in the Andes.
They're all just murders in the snow.
And, oh, Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Why did I throw in 127 hours? This is weird. This is about the sun, but he does have to chop his own arm off.
Yeah.
So, I suppose.
So you're pitching this to everyone.
Look, he does have to harm himself. I swear, I told you I wasn't going to bring any more of them, but I only brought one batch of DVDs and this is what we have. So that's kind of what we got.
They were on sale. They were a 5-for-1.
Sean, do you think this might be the job for you? Or is this a job that is very... Actually, I mentioned The Shining earlier on. This has a heavy whiff of The Shining about it.
I think I could do a month, but I couldn't do 4. I think a month is like short enough that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to be home soon. I can put up with this for a while. But like, what if something goes wrong after the 4 months and they can't rescue you? Like,
what if the DVD breaks? What are we up to then?
Well, I've got the backup, so... that's why you plan ahead. That's why I'm general assistant, Connor.
I'm just shop manager. Nobody ever comes into the fucking shop. I'm just standing there like, one of these days, somebody's going to buy one of these things and we are going to be laughing. But at the moment, we are not breaking a profit.
Can you eat penguin eggs?
Okay, you're not going to get the job if you open with that in the interview.
I'm not saying I'm opening with it.
What makes you think you'd be good for the role? I have a question for you. Can you eat penguin eggs?
So we'd answer your question with a question. What's the eggy situation?
How do you cook them and for what a length of time if you want to, I don't know, maybe boil them?
Say I wanted, look, maybe a soft scramble. What are we talking there?
Would the penguins be mad at me if I stole their eggs?
Can penguins feel vengeance?
Just ringing back home, just like, I have 1,500 really angry penguins right now. It's a taken situation.
And a full tummy, let me tell you.
I'm ready to run, but I'm also going to get a stitch.
I've just been eating eggs.
Just massive. You're fucking swole. Like, just so much protein.
So, and there's still 1,500 odd penguins left.
In numbers wise, hasn't changed. I
for this
count
year,
the first
fine. Next year, they're fucked.
This year, laughing. Next year, don't come back to me. I'm not going to be on this.
Look, I made the job easier for the next lad. He only has to count 12 penguins.
How much would I have to give you for 5 months out there?
A million.
A million?
Yeah.
You're lying. If I said I'll give you 200 quid, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Alright. I have no worries for those 5 months, apart from survival, but like that's whatever.
Survival, yes, but also like you don't have to buy anything.
Because my fucking caveman brain is like, I'm like, it's not built for spreadsheets. It's built for do this task and then do this task, you know?
Yeah, but also you get stressed if you have to do multiple tasks at once.
Yeah, but that's why it's just like, oh, okay, now I just need to paint this wall. Now I need to count these
penguins. I think you work better when it's like, you have to do this task or you'll die. And then you have to also do this task or you'll die.
I need a deadline. I need a purpose.
Deadline of death.
Yeah. Which in many ways, we all have that coming for us. We just don't know when.
But if I say to you, we've done this many times, by the way, on the pod, where like Sean does up those videos that you see on the socials. And,
great videos.
But if I say to Sean, could you do a video for, I don't know, maybe Madam Web? He'll say, yeah, cool, I will do. Weeks could pass. Nothing happened. But if I say, Sean, I'd like a video by tomorrow at 6. You goddamn believe a video's coming tomorrow at 6. At 5:59, he's putting that in.
100%. Like, I don't like that about me, but that's just how my brain works. And you've accommodated to that. You're like, you will just say, I want it here. Like,
yeah, I'm like, I want it done by Monday. You're like, great, I'll have it done by Monday. I'm like, okay, fucking fantastic.
And since you've been doing that, it's done by Monday. Clear direction. Is what I'm after.
Because he'll do it real well, but he just needs to do it in a panic.
It's not even panic. I know how long things take.
Yeah, if I said to you, okay, take as long as you want, whatever he makes is going to be shit.
That's the thing, yeah. Honestly. Because it'll be, take as long as you want, I'll do nothing. And then you'll be like, any word on that? And then I'll rush something together.
And then you'll panic and you'll be like, I'll have it out for you in an hour. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. it's a still image with me just talking over through my phone.
Just really muffled. It's like, anyway, this is a Madam Web.
It's not a good movie, but it's not bad.
I didn't write anything down for this. It's just an image. But we're going to move on, Sean, to our next piece of news. I think that job, I think it's a cursed chalice, is what I'm saying. What's that word there?
Poison chalice?
Poisoned is the word, not cursed. Poisoned. I suppose it could be a cursed as well. In Goblet of Fire, Harry Potter, it was cursed, wasn't it?
It was enchanted. It was a cursed place.
Or Pats got... He got the debt.
Or Pats, of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, he wasn't killed by the goblet. He wasn't killed by the Triwizard Cup, first of all. He was Avada Kedavra'd by Peter Pettigrew.
Really, the question is, Sean, how did Harry's name end up in that fucking goblet? Because that just shouldn't have happened. He was underage. I don't know what happened there.
Shouldn't, yeah, if only someone would ask calmly. Anyway, J.K. Rowling's a bitch.
If only someone had said, ah, no, Harry, you're too young, fuck off.
Shocking. This is wild that we're allowing him in. What the fuck are we doing, lads?
In any other school, if there was a competition for the 18-year-olds and a random 12-year-old ended up in the fucking... You go, fucking John, go home.
Yeah.
John, this is not for you, lad.
Stop taking the piss, like.
I don't care if the magic goblet pulled out your name. There's only three people that are allowed to compete, and you're not one of them.
And if it was the fucking child who nearly died, like, three times every previous 3 years.
I'd say we leave him. John, you've had a tough old summer.
Like, lads, we can't handle this. Like, this will ruin the school.
John's clearly going to die if we put him in.
Someone wants to kill that child really bad. It's kind of wild that he's still just walking around, to be honest.
He's just happy. He's just grand.
He's not happy. He's miserable.
4 is the one with the emo haircuts. I respect that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, big time. It's the only way to have
big time. I like how they got super emo and I was like, yeah, let's rock that. And then they went clean cut again by 6. I was like, no.
Yeah, they went short back and sides by 6 and it was worse for it. You know?
Bring it back. I want you fighting Voldemort, doing the flick, getting the hair out of your eyes. That's what I want, Harry.
And those are set in the 90s. So that he should have fucking bleach blonde tips.
You got that right, you should. Sean, we're going to move on to our next piece of news. And I have 80-year-old man clone sheep via legal animal parts to create and hunt enormous hybrid species.
What the fuck?
Sometimes a headline comes along and I think, that's for us. I'll take that, please.
Fellas, sometimes weird news just lands in your lap.
A Montana man pleaded guilty last Tuesday to felony wildlife charges. Felony wildlife charges.
They surely had to make something up for this, man.
It was so fucked that he had to get his own charges. After making plans to let paying customers onto his property to hunt sheep. But according to Gizmo, Quasimodo. The sheep are not typical varieties found in Montana or in nature. These massive hybrid sheep.
These abominations.
Monsters. These massive hybrid sheep were created by illegally importing animal parts from Central Asia, which the man then used to clone the animals. This resulted in an enormous hybrid species. Arthur Jack Schubart, who's now 80, is the owner and operator of Sun River Enterprises in Montana.
What parts did he fucking... homunculus together.
He has a 215-acre ranch, and basically trophy hunting customers would pay to hunt the animals kept there. Now, he was aided by an unarmed accomplice, which reminds me of the Saw movies, who would smuggle in biological material from the Marco Polo sheep from Kyrgyzstan. An average male Marco Polo sheep could weigh over 300 pounds.
Jesus.
So it's an endangered species, though, so they're protected by international and US law.
Can't hunt them.
You can't hunt them. So it also forbids them from obviously importing them. But he sent the parts to an unidentified lab where 165 embryos were cloned. Those embryos were then implanted into ewes on his ranch, leading to a pure genetic Marco Polo sheep born on this man's Montana ranch.
That's insane. Didn't they outlaw cloning? Because they did it once and they were like, oh no, we fucked this.
This is
wrong.
Jurassic Park. He's basically created Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
He's like a proper movie villain.
He's a mad scientist.
Yeah. Yeah. So he then used that sheep to artificially inseminate female sheep, leading to the birth of animals that were a hybrid species that would then be used for hunting.
So it's half of this massive sheep and half of a regular sheep.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's so fucked.
Yeah.
He just made a new creature.
It's one of the maddest stories I think we've ever done on Weird News, but it's a headline that I couldn't pass up.
Yeah, no, because it's genuinely insane. It's not like, some of them are funny insane. This is just like, how do you take the first step? How do you tip the first domino into making a new species?
He's like, oh, I'd love to have trophy hunting, which, by the way, massive cunt if he's doing trophy hunting. I'm standing by that. But, like, if you're like, oh, we want trophy hunting on our land. Okay, cool. What could they hunt? Well, I have some ewes.
There's no honour in killing none of those, though. So.
No, but... No, really. So I need to create my own ones. Maybe he'd watch Jurassic Park and Jurassic World.
And then, clicked in his head.
It just clicked into his brain that if I create my own animals, I can't be done for any sort of wildlife problems. Because technically, they're not an animal. They don't exist.
If you're setting up an illegal animal hunting operation, first of all, don't. But second of all...
Step one.
If you're in a mind to create a new creature to hunt, I think you should make one that should be able to hunt back.
I think, yeah. The problem with all this stuff, and why I'm so strong about this, is we need to create one that it's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
I'm not having some big fat guy stroll up and be like, I'm going to take the shot, and he can miss 7 times, and the 8th time gets him, and is like, I'm amazing. No.
No. I want a fair fight.
You get one shot. Right?
Yeah.
You get one shot.
And if you fuck it up, that's on you.
You miss, you're dead. That's what I want.
No, I don't want, like, the Undertaker fighting in a playground. I want, the peak of human hunting capability versus the peak of animal hunting capability.
Yeah. I'm talking,
and we see which one's better.
We mix a cheetah and a lion and a fucking bear.
Yeah.
And just, throw in some sort of weird amalgamation into everything.
What's the best hunting animal?
I don't know. There's probably a specific cat or something.
A wolf. Oh.
A wolf, okay. Well, you need to take a little bit of a wolf, a little bit of a cheetah, a little bit of a tiger and a lion, and then a little bit of a bear.
Yeah, you need the bear. And then we need a weird one in there. We need intelligence. We need a dolphin brain.
We need, like, I'm talking, we create, like, this fucking killing machine. Now, obviously, this is the plot for Jurassic Park, because then they will get out and kill us all. But the thing is,
we deserve that's it the at
risk.
That point.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go trophy hunting, you got to take that risk. You go in there, it's a 50-50 shot.
If you come for the king, you better not miss. Like,
we give you a rifle and you will have bullets, but once you go in there, it's the Hunger Games. It's kill or be killed.
And apparently, actually, the most successful apex predator are African wild dogs, with 85% successful kills.
Fuck. Okay. Well, we need a little bit of them in it as well.
Yeah, a little bit of them. We want, like, the speed of a cheetah. Like, we want... If we can give it wings, why not? Like,
I mean, take a little bit of wings. I want it to not be able to fly, but even just a little glide. Little jump. Yeah.
And then we'll give it, like, the senses of a great white shark. Like, I want it to be able to smell you from ages away.
It can smell, but, like, it can breathe air. It can smell blood from the air.
It's going to... Look, no one's saying this is the right thing to do.
No, we're saying don't do it at all. But if you are going to do it, don't be a bitch about it.
Yeah.
You got to commit.
Yeah, make a challenge is what we're saying. Don't make just a slightly bigger sheep.
No, like, that's no crack. I'm talking we go all in and then you invite the greatest hunters from around the world in a sort of predator situation and you maybe, I don't know, best person in this country, you bring them all in and then you give them a weapon. They all start on this in a big circle and a big box of weapons in the middle. You gotta survive.
And then you make the announcement, there is no animal. The deadliest game is man. And they all kill each other.
And then you allow them to kill each other. No, I think, like, you release only 3 of the animals, right? But then there are maybe 10 people. So it's still fair. We need to work out exactly 50-50 odds that it could go either way.
Yeah, like, what's the average kill count of the animal versus the human? Yeah.
Like, so, and then at that point, let's throw in all the real fat guys who love shooting animals, who are just, like, eating grass.
All the fucking dentists who want to kill elephants.
And, like, and I want them coming in with a sniper rifle, but I want our animals also in there who can smell sniper rifles.
They've been bred to find bullets delicious.
it's like the shark thing, but they smell lead.
Yeah.
So they can then just track lead.
And can they use tools? Like, is that too similar to humans? Like, can they use
stick? No, they can't use tools. It's pure... It's not tools that we're interested in.
But they have big claws and stuff.
Oh, big claws, big teeth. Yeah.
Good. Okay. I think we got this, man. So, our animal versus 10 of the best hunters.
That guy legitimately made a Jurassic Park just to do stuff.
Yeah. Is he going to prison or is he just getting fined?
He's been sent to prison for 10 years and he has a fine of $250,000.
But he's just going to use that prison time for planning, surely.
He's 80, so 10 years is pretty long.
Unless he puts his mind into a sheep or something.
Unless he hybrids himself.
Yeah, he's going to hybrid himself.
Oh, he's going to fucking hybrid himself.
He's going to, like, train a little rat in prison to be his friend and he's going to hybrid his brain.
And then he's
going to
get real
good
at cooking.
Yeah.
Good. I've seen that plot. Sean, I think that's it for this week's Weird News.
What a week of Weird News. Do you want me to take us out, Connor?
Yeah, sure, why not.
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Weird News Wednesday. We will be back on Friday with Hero or Zero and next Wednesday with another episode of Weird News Wednesdays. Be sure to check out the June 2 review that we posted on Monday. It's a good long episode and it has all of our thoughts in it. So check that out. But otherwise, we will be back next Wednesday. Big shout out to everyone on Patreon. Patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast. Link to that is in the description. Those people that support us over there are absolutely fantastic. They help us keep making the show. We genuinely couldn't do it without them. So they get access to extra movie reviews, extra TV show reviews, a whole bunch of stuff. They also get shout outs on the show. So shout out to Roisin and Baby Ben Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Waffles Loves You and Hopes You Have a Good Day, David Clark, Sean Chuckin' in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, and congrats Roisin on your baby Helmroos, Daniel McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Dowd, Coyote, Frost overwhelmed by Uni and other bad choices, Ed Ball, Connor and Rain are certain you could kill someone with a compass, just aim for the carotid artery. Ross, question, is David Zaslav the real life known bastard Reed Richards without the logic? Parfit. Jackson Bruheim decided to let Sean stay as host. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and tipsily subscribed to the Patreon. Kira Lawler, Judge Lahey, The Amazing World of Keza, Mikey the Leinster Ledgebag, Chair's number one fan, Kyle Borowski, Rory screamed when he was responded to on Twitter, Sean subbed to the Patreon after 10 creamy pints, and Pete can't wait to hear his name read out on the podcast, so definitely won't make it too long. Pete, you're very, very welcome. How dare you?
I seen that one and I was like, oh, that's classic Pete.
It's going to be a good one. No, thank you everyone for supporting us. We really appreciate it. Heading over there if you want to help us out, help us keep making the show. There are also other ways to support the show. There's a merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is at heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Diplomat's discussion group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Real.
And we shall see you all next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.